Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Ramon.
You're welcome.
Oh, so I think what I'd like to do is start us with a little bit of a meditation. And, but before we do, Gina, exit and come back in. Just exit and come back in. Text April. Text April. Maybe she can. Yeah. Good morning, Marcia. Good to see you. I see Laura and Kelsey there. All right. So we're going to start with a meditation. Just a simple meditation, right? To bring us present in this moment. So why don't we each, in our own way, find our present moment, starting with your seat. Let's find our seat, each one of us. And maybe one way to look at finding your seat is to ask, what is supporting me? And start with the obvious. What in your body is heaviest, densest, experiencing the most pressure? And drop your mind, drop your attention to that part of your body and literally explore the sensation. I've been doing this for so many years, decades, and it never gets old. It never gets old if you just show up fresh for the experience right now. And once you find that which is supporting you, see if you can soften and allow it to support you. And make a mental note of what you just did. Ordinarily in class, I guide through this part of the practice, but we are training you to be able to do this for yourself. So what did you do when I asked you to find your seat and to go there from the perspective of asking what is supporting me right now? How did you find that which is supporting you right now? And then what did you do to allow yourself to accept that support? How did you soften your body? Or what was the mental process you used to allow you to accept the support? And then once we're softening, once the body is softening and our mind is settling, even if we're bringing it back again and again, our mind is coming back to that sensation. Let's ask ourselves to take a nice deep 3-part inhale. So on your own, you guide yourself. Inhaling, feeling your belly expand, feel your ribs expand in the back and the sides. And as you exhale, soften. Each inhale is a very deliberate experience of the belly expanding, the rib cage expanding in 360 degrees, and then feeling the breath coming to the very tops of the lungs and lifting right there underneath those collarbones. The very tops of the lobes of the lungs are full. And as you exhale, your choice, right? Start at the top of the head with a wave of softness moving down through the body, or focus on the area in your body that is extremely tight or gripping or tense. Now we're going to do this for just a few more, another minute or so. And your next job now, the training, is anytime your mind wanders, is to bring it back to that sensation of pressure and support on your body or to your breath. You choose. So let's go for a minute and see if you can again and again and again and again, patiently, kindly bring your mind back to the present moment, your body, your breath, right here, right now, where everything's okay, right here, right now. Let's begin. Just 20 more seconds. Don't give up. Keep bringing the mind back again and again and again. And you did it. You did it. Good job. So just rest for a moment and notice what that was like for you. What did your mind do? Were you able to bring your mind back again and again? Or was it so alluring and seductive it just carried you away? No right or wrong. Just noticing. And then before we take a breath and come back into our group this morning, just hold this thought. If you can taste the water you are drinking, you are okay. If you can taste the water you are drinking, you are okay. And with that, let's open with an invocation. That invocation I kind of introduced to you several weeks ago and then forgot to continue to do each week. So I'm going to put it up on my screen so you can see the words. And it just goes like this. There's a little tune to it and it just goes. So we do this full-hearted, open-hearted. It's a way to start our practice with an intention that as we heal and balance ourselves, we also bring that blessing to everyone around us. So we hold that intention that may our practice be of benefit to all beings by saying, may all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes. May all beings always be pain-free and live happily. May no beings ever cling to those near nor spurn those far. And so, when you're ready, just take a gentle inhale. And I just realized I didn't correct the words on this. I'll have to do that. I'll correct that some of you didn't even notice, and we'll put that blessing up on the website for you. So how did we do with just a simple practice of finding a support, allowing it to support us, and then bringing our mind back into the present moment on our own? And so is there anybody be willing to share what it was like for you when I said, excuse me, when I opened this up by, you know, the first step is to, what is supporting me? What is it that's supporting you? Where did your mind go? Where in your body? What did you find when you asked that question? Maybe it's too early in the morning. Maybe we need a small group. Okay. Small groups. Here we come. First question. What did I do when Karen said, what is supporting me? What did my mind do? What did my body find with that question? And then what did I do to allow myself to accept the support? Or was I unable to accept that support? Or my mind just wasn't there at all. I couldn't find it in my body. You know, my mind is just too busy or whatever. What was your authentic experience? I want to make sure, because I know what happens. You go in the groups and you go, I wasn't quite sure what we were supposed to do. So number one, when I said, what is supporting you? What did your mind do? What did you find in your body? Two, when I asked you to use the three-part breath and allow that support to support you, what came up for you? Were you able to do it? How were you able to do it? Did you find resistance to that? Very possible, right? So what if we, let's see, there's three. Karen, just go down there, 15. There's 14. So let's do three groups. We'll break up into three groups. Okay. And it doesn't have to be a long discussion, but just enough to, let's see, does that work? Five. So there's two groups of five and one group of four. That's not intimidating. Right? So for you introverts, you know, you're just going to have a tiny little piece and you can listen to the extroverts if you want to. How's that? Okay. So let's take about 5 minutes, 6 minutes and kind of wake ourselves up and say hello to each other. All right, guys. I hope you got it. Good luck. Here we go. Just like that, you're all back. Was that enough time? Yeah? Okay. Gina, did you get your mic working? Okay. All right. So did each group have somebody? How about if we, I'm curious to see and hear what you discovered. So group one was April, Jenny, Julie, Laura, Ramon. April? Great. Okay. Yeah.
So, our group was, so of the five of us, four of us were in different locations than we normally are. Yeah. And different. Yeah. So, like Laura's visiting a friend, Jenny's in her husband's office chair. I'm in a different spot. Julie's in the car.
Oh.
So she doesn't have access to her microphone or video, but, and Ramon is in his same spot, but so it was interesting to see like, how we, each of us, that those who are in a new place had to really note, we noticed the difference in like, oh, my body is kind of, you know, in a different place and you can feel that sensation. And so Laura had a really great way of just like focusing in on when you said the, talked about being grounded and the ground, that she just kind of went through each layer of where she was sitting. And that was a really effective way for her to stay present with her body. And same Jenny, it was like having to like really focus on this, you know, the feeling in her body and the sound of the breath, to stay focused, because it, even if I'm like, I'm in the same cushion, you know, my same way that I sit, but just being in a physically different space felt different. And so, and then we talked quite a bit, and Julie, you know, with even more challenging being in the car and trying to bring her mind back to, yeah. to that. So it was interesting to kind of notice the similarities of being in, when you're in a different spot, and how that is, it's a really good exercise to be able to meditate in different places. It was good. I think I got all that.
That was lovely. That was excellent. And how did people allow themselves to accept the support? Was that an easy thing to do, or did you have to work with your minds, or?
Yeah. I mean, from what I remember, we all kind of like, you know, when we would have those distractions, it was just like coming back to what we know and having that experience of meditating for a while to be able to say, and Jenny found it a little bit more challenging because she hasn't, I think it's been a couple of weeks since she's, you know, really sat in her cushion and had a regular, more formal practice, but being able to get back into your body. I think each of us were able to do that.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. All right. What about Gina, Louise, Marsha, Nat?
So for our group two, there were five of us, and three of us at least had stuff happening and were not totally fully engaged in the whole process. And for me,
good awareness.
It was technical. Yeah, it was technical difficulties. And so I was taking a breath because I was trying not to be annoyed, because it was annoying, but I was trying not to let it get the best of me, and fear that I would lose the entire workshop and not be able to participate. So I would just stop and take a breath and try to get back to what needed to be done. And I think for a couple of the other folks in the group, they also had other outside influences during the whole process. And so kind of going back and forth. And then Marsha and Louise expressed both, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, that they're still pretty new to the process. So they were very more deliberate in what they were doing with the breath and the body during that time, because some of it is still new to them. So, and for myself, the part that I was able to do is I felt my feet grounded to the floor first. That was what I felt. And then during the three-part breathing, I could feel the heaviness in my body, and it would take me out a little bit of the busyness going on. And please, anybody else add to that if you have comments that you'd like to add.
Okay. All right. I hope you're all listening to this with that open-mindedness of, oh, I relate, or, oh, that's another way of looking at it. The, you know, the, they're, if we know anything, we know that this path out so that we can live without anxiety takes more than one tool. Because the mind is very strong. It's very cunning. It wants its old habits and patterns. It is not going to change willingly. They're called samskaras. They are habit patterns that are deeply, deeply, deeply embedded. We might say in the neural pathways of our brain, right? And so it really is. The more tools you have at your disposal, so as the mind is kind of getting used to that one, boom, bring in something else. That keeps you in charge, right? That helps you become the master so that you can shift these patterns. So this is what I love is authentic. It's sweet. And that's what we want. We want you to be authentically engaged in your experience because that is a real experience. There is no should. There is no right way. There is what you're experiencing, period. It's valid. It's real. And it needs to be honored and validated and not judged and pushed aside for some ideal we have of how it should be, right? So with that, how's our last group? Agnieszka, Judy, Kelsey, and Kathleen.
I'll let Kelsey talk since she actually knew it more. two of us were late.
It's okay. It's okay. Were you able to kind of catch on to what we were doing?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Wow. Yeah. But, Kelsey and Judy actually had more of an experience, I think, because they were in it. So
all right.
I'll let Kelsey share.
Okay.
let's see. So I'd say we had pretty different experiences in our group. But a couple of us felt really grounded in like our bottoms and the parts of our bottoms and the bottoms of our legs that were sitting, like that were touching the floor that we're sitting on, and feeling that heaviness and that denseness really brought us back to that grounding sense. But I shared that, my chest was feeling really anxious today. And so I noticed that when we were focusing on releasing, and it wasn't quite releasing, but I was able to not like get upset about it. I was able to just be with it and be like, okay, this is where we're at today. Another person shared that the emotions were really strong for her today. And so that's kind of where she was living today and what came up over and over for her again. Yeah, that's the short of it.
Okay. So did you notice when Kelsey was sharing, she said that anxious was in her chest. Do you remember saying that, Kelsey? Mm-hmm. And here's what we're going to train ourselves to do is to kind of let go of that word anxious, because as soon as we say anxious, we've lumped and we're back to a lump. And how do you deal with the big clog of a lump? And let's really start training ourselves to be aware of a sensation. So one of the retrainings we're doing is we're training our vocabulary to start looking at the sensations in our body without the label of anxiety, but as a sensation that has a message to give us. It's bringing us a message. It's trying to get our attention and tell us something. And I think that's kind of a really subtle but powerful way of shifting our relationship to this big thing we call anxiety. It's like when Gina was talking, every one of us probably understood when she said, and then there's this fear that the workshop, I'll miss the whole workshop because of technical difficulties. How many of us, when the technology goes awry, we get spun up, right? Thanks, Ramona. Exactly, right? I mean, so we all related to what she said, but she didn't call it anxiety. She called it fear of missing the workshop. She named it. She could see what the source was, at which point we can deal with that. We can deal with that, right? Dealing with just this lump of anxiety that we're scared of, that we don't want to experience, that we're resisting. That's the losing game. That's the old pattern. So naming it as a sensation, which is why I like the phrase, it's an event in my body. My body is having an event, which brings us back to this idea of karma is firing. This is something going on in my energy body, in what I've come to learn, the whole reason I'm here. Something is firing right now that's letting me know I'm out of balance and I need to pay attention so I can rebalance. Did that segue make sense? Was everybody with me as I did that little, I took us from sensation to event to karma firing? Yeah. So before we go to talk more about the energy in our body and this idea of karma firing and samskaras, which is what we want to talk about today, I want to come back to the most powerful tool you have. And I love how Louise and Marcia were just very upfront. It's like, okay, this is new. And it's when it's new, it's not intuitive, this school. This is a skill we develop, but it is the skill to be present right here, right now. That is your most powerful tool, which is why Eckhart Tolle has created an empire out of a book called The Power of Now. Back in the 90s, when he wrote that book, he found a way of capturing, and it ignited something. It was like a karmic moment on the planet that ignited an awareness of, oh, wait a minute. You know, we had Baba Ram Das in the 60s with Be Here Now, a book that revolutionized a generation. And then Eckhart came out, what is it, 60, 70, 80, 30 years later, a full Saturn cycle maybe even. Isn't that interesting? With Be Here Now. Be Here Now. These are important. This is your skill. This is the most important skill to develop. And so I just wanted to say that, to remind you of that. This is not a small thing to be present in your body. It's not a small thing to learn how to recognize, wait, what does that mean to feel the weight and the pressure of my seat or my feet or my hands? What does that mean to feel the sensation and be doing this, as I say it, of your shirt on your shoulders right now? What is the sensation of your shirt or the straps of your shirt on your skin? Now, as soon as I brought your attention to it, there is a sensation there, right? But we've spent the whole morning unaware of it. Unaware of it. But that little moment where you could feel your shirt on your shoulders was you building the muscle to be present. And in the present moment, you are okay. And I'm going to say it, even if there's a tiger at your door, even if there's a terrorist at your, in your street, even if there's a carjacker trying to get into your car, even if you're being raped, I'm sorry. This is a memory that just came back to me. Being present in the moment is what will keep you out of panic, out of anxiety, out of fear, and clear. And so, not to get too deep, but when I was 20, I was raped. And somebody came in the middle of the night, and they just laid down on top of me, put their hand on my mouth, and as you can imagine, my whole body just went, and they, I don't know that they really did, but they had something poking in my rib like it was a gun, right? And it was like, don't make a sound, don't move, or I'll kill you, right? My mind went to the sensation in my hands. I had the thought that brought me into the present moment. The thought was, Karen, you have a really long lifeline. You ain't gonna die, right? That was the thought. And with that, I just became exquisitely and totally present in the moment. Present, completely present. I couldn't see a thing. It was pitch dark. But I spent the next hour and a half totally present, present with the person I was with, asking questions, getting to know, having a conversation. By the time he left, he was wishing me a great life. I was wishing him a great life. He left and I called the police, mind you. But I was calm. I was present. No panic, no anxiety. Present. And really, what is one of the worst things? Our fear is could happen to us, right? So I'm telling you the story to emphasize, actually I didn't plan to tell it to you, it just popped in my head. So I was like, okay, maybe I should share it. To emphasize that this skill of being present in your body, my stomach is tight, my chest is vibrating so fast, my heart is beating like it wants to jump out of my body. Every nerve fiber in my body is on fire. Those awarenesses are what keep you in your body. And if you stay in your body, you stay in the present moment. If you stay in the present moment, you have the capacity to hold space mentally, hold space for what your body is experiencing and allow it to happen. Did you hear what I just said there? Right? We're present. We're present with the event, with this karma firing. Boom, boom, boom. It's happening. We are learning to hold space for that. And so it's like there's this field. Our body becomes a container without really hard edges in which this other stuff is rumbling and happening. I have a thought. I don't know if this is going to work for some of you. Somebody will have a better one. It's like a disposal, a garbage disposal, right? The garbage disposal stays nice and steady, might vibrate a little, but inside, oh my God, look at what's going on, man. It's like stuff is getting ground up and processed and whoa, 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 and then it all gets worked out and it washes through. We are that container. Find a metaphor for yourself as that container to allow this event to happen. To allow this event to happen. And most importantly, okay, allow and move through. Allow and move through. Allow, and if you allow it, it will move through. It will move through. And I can even promise you that because nothing is going to last forever. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, so that's a little radical. What are your responses to that? What are your minds saying to me? I know my daughter's mind, so I know what she's saying to me. But let's see if she either wants to verbalize it or if somebody else wants to share. What is your response to this?
I
What are the questions, the fears that come up as I say this? Agnieszka, yeah.
Actually, I feel a great relief.
Oh.
That all I need to do is allow. I don't need to fight it. I don't need to fix it. Because that would be my natural response. What's wrong? Why is this happening? Why am I feeling this? I should be calm, or my body, or I should not be feeling these, all these emotions. What's that? I'm a yogi. I don't have emotions. All these crazy ideas. So to me, it's actually a great relief. And because over the last few months, I have been experiencing, or maybe for the first time, I'm actually present to the emotions. I'm allowed, or they are that strong that I can't push them down. And just to watch this roller coaster, it's what you said about, you know, nothing lasts forever. You know, I'll cry for 2 days, and then I know, even though I'm in the midst of, you know, crying and all that, and I know it's gonna, I know I'll be fine in 2 days. I know I'll be having fun in 2 days. And then when things are calm, I know there's a chance then in 2 days. So there's a relief. It's almost like you said, like, I love this idea that I'm just a container.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am responsible to some degree, but not so much for fixing it now and what's happening. It's, I mean, I know I, by being, I mean, I just need to let it happen. I don't know.
You are responsible. Let me throw this out there.
Thank you.
Let me throw this out there as a thought. You are responsible for showing up for your life. That's your prime responsibility. And that means to show up for your emotions, show up for your sensations, show up for your experiences. And when we're kids, they're really unpleasant. They're really unpleasant. And we have developed all these coping mechanisms because we don't know how to deal with unpleasant. Because our parents and our teachers and our spiritual guides are all telling us not to feel it, push it down. If you're a good person, you're going to blah, 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 you know, and not because they're mad, because that's what they were taught. And out of the goodness of their hearts, they are teaching us what they learned because they think that's the way. And this is a really important piece as we start to untangle. It's recognized that even if it was yucky, guys, people are doing the best they can. They are sharing with you what they know. This is what they know. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday. And so much judgment pouring out of his mouth. And a need, judgment towards his daughter, what she's doing, how she's behaving. I want her to this. I want her to that. And all of that was about protecting her. He wanted to protect her from being hurt. But instead, he doesn't know, put it this way. He doesn't know how. His family history was not about allowing, supporting, loving unconditionally. Everything he was doing was what he was taught. Let me tell you what to do so you can, I can help prevent you making any mistakes. Right? And the message becomes you're not capable. You don't trust your own experience. But it's not meant that way. It's meant from a heartfelt place of, let me give you all this advice so that you won't make any mistakes and you will be happy. Did I communicate that as I was hoping to? Yeah, Kathleen.
And I'll just to take that a little further. I mean, I think for me, it's like, so that means if they're okay and everything's perfect in their life, then I'm okay too. And that was huge for me trying to, you know, let my kids, you know, back away from my kids, always trying to make sure, you know, I was raised too by appearances, right? So, I was raised, you know, children are to be seen and not heard and everything is perfect. And so you did what your mom told you to do.
Yes.
Right. So.
Yes. And so what Kathleen has just said has really tapped into, these are the sources of the anxiety.
Right.
These are the sources, are these messages that we got that were not ill intended. And I think that's part of, as we move through this process, is to let go of any feeling of victimhood or, you know, people were bad and evil. There are very, very nasty, unhappy, unkind, mean, cruel people out there. That is true. For our purposes, if we're trying to move through anxiety, we need to let go of that judgment piece, that labeling piece, so that we don't unintentionally turn it back on ourselves. Did you hear what I just said? That's the reason. And I'm sorry, I could sit here if I was a good yogi maybe and say, our job is to love unconditionally and to understand. And yes, yes, yes. But really, when it's about anxiety, the reason we're letting go of that label is because everything we throw out that way, judgment, blame, criticism, just come back at us. It's a boomerang. It's a mirror of the kind of thoughts we're sending back at us. So for our purposes, we want to let go of those kinds of labels, work through them, so that we stop doing it to ourselves. Did that land at all? Yeah. That's a complex one. We could spend a whole class talking about that. But so here's what I want to do. I want us to take a short break, just a short break, just to clear your heads. And then we'll come back and I want to talk a little bit more about the subconscious, about this idea of karma firing, the energy in the body, and how we work with that. Because I know it doesn't feel like enough, but you know, we've talked about working with anxiety from this idea of what it's doing in the brain. We've talked about being mindful in the present moment, and we're really trying to dive into what does the meditation world, what are the perspectives it can offer us to help us do this differently, to see this differently, and the practices we can use. And so I just kind of want to finish that little piece. And I do want to just let you all know that, you know, you're so lucky my daughter's in this class, because she's just like full of questions. And she's just been my best teacher here. And I realize there's this absolutely totally inadequate amount of time to cover the subject matter. There just is. I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to fit into a world that we're living in, right? Which is short pockets. But so what I do want to let you know is next Saturday, I'm going to add another class. It's optional. You don't have to come. If you can't be there, not a problem, but we're going to do another class next Saturday. And then we've got that Saturday of the retreat where we won't be here, but then we're going to have two more Saturdays plus our Mondays. Okay. Because there's just so much. And I think there's a point in here where it's really important for us to have more time with you individually. What are you actually experiencing? What are your questions? And how are we going to take this little map? I'm going to give you a little handout today. How are we going to make that map become your map out, your way out, your way out? Okay. So why don't we take a break until the hour? Let's give ourselves 6-7 minutes. I'm going to go make a cup of tea and then we'll come back. And that last half hour, we'll kind of try and go where I thought I wanted to go. But if somebody has a question, I'm going to let you answer it first thing. Ask it first thing. Okay. All right. So should we take a little break? Okay, everybody.